Please have that passage open. Simon's already prayed, so let's dive in. And if you've been here the last couple of weeks, you'll know we're in a series in Luke teaching us about what it looks like to follow Jesus. Jesus says, I am the Christ, the promised one of God, and you need to follow me, but it won't be easy. And so through some of his teaching and through some of these stories, this is what it looks like. So if you're a believer in Jesus this afternoon, this is teaching on being a disciple. And this will be a central truth, vital to us enjoying our life with God. If you're not sure about whether you're following Jesus or not, this is a way of looking in and seeing the life of a Christian and starting to see the greatness of our King Jesus. So here we are. It's a fairly simple story down there in that little passage in Luke 10. Jesus and his disciples, they are trotting around. They come to a village and a woman named Martha says, come on in, I'll host you. And she's got a sister, Mary. But as Martha is busily getting everything ready, Mary is not. She is sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to Jesus speaking. Martha asks a question down there in verse 40. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. This is one of those stories that expects the answer yes. Lord, don't you see how lazy Mary is being? Please, will you sort her out and get her to come into the kitchen and help me? She's expecting, yes, of course I will. Come on, Mary, sort it out. The response that Jesus gives is loving. Verse 41, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. It's loving, but Jesus does put her straight. And this unexpected answer is remembered and recorded for us in the Bible to learn from. Mary has chosen what is better. Well, why is it better to be listening to Jesus? If you're here last week, maybe you're already thinking there's quite a contrast between this passage and the one just before. In the passage just before, Jesus has taught the parable of the Good Samaritan, a very well-known story, and a story that basically says, go and do. Go and do likewise. Be a good neighbor to any or all you come across. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then in this passage, Jesus commends listening. And next week we'll come to where he teaches about speaking to God in prayer. So should we do love to our neighbor or stop and spend time with God? Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. As I've been thinking about these passages, preaching through these few weeks, I've been reminded of Star Wars. I probably get reminded of Star Wars a little bit too often at the moment, but I was reminded of Star Wars. And if you know Star Wars, one character is being trained in his powers. By using his mind, he started to move some rocks around. But then he gets asked, well, can you raise your entire spaceship out of this swamp? He thinks it's impossible for him, but then he's persuaded to give it a go. If you know it, this is Luke Skywalker. He says, all right, I'll give it a try. And then Yoda says, no, try not. Do or do not. There is no try. That's as close as I can get. But he's small and green. You have to forgive me if I'm not getting very close. Do or do not. So here we are. Do or do not. Jesus cannot be saying, remove yourself from the world. Spend all your time in contemplative prayer. He's just given that parable of the Good Samaritan. But here is the priority of hearing the word of God in a life of active service, being Jesus' disciple. Do or do not, but you need to be listening to God. And as we look in on this true story, we're pointed to that higher priority of loving God in doing what you do. And we'll see a vital corrective. We can have a wrong attitude to service about how you do what you do. True discipleship is a combination of busy service and quiet reflection. So I've got two points really for us this afternoon. A vital priority to listening to Jesus and a vital attitude in listening to Jesus. First of all, the vital priority of listening. Do or do not, but you need to listen. The story is told of Franklin Roosevelt, the old American president. He often endured long receiving lines at the White House. You can imagine a whole bunch of people coming past him, shaking hands, shaking hands, shaking hands. He complained that no one really paid any attention to what was said. So one day during a reception, he decided to try an experiment. To each person who came down the line and shook his hand, he murmured, "I murdered my grandmother this morning. I murdered my grandmother this morning." The guests responded with phrases like, "Marvelous! Keep up the good work. We're proud of you. God bless you, sir." Apparently, it was not till near the end of the line, while greeting the ambassador from Bolivia, that his words, "I murdered my grandmother this morning," were actually heard. Nonplussed, the ambassador leaned over and whispered, "I'm sure she had it coming." I'm sure we can all give stories of when we were not listened to. But how about our own listening? Luke records for us here Mary, a woman, sitting amongst men at the rabbi's feet. And even there, in that culture, we're struck. Jesus is not leaving women out. He's allowing them there. They're right there at the foot, listening to this important teaching. But while Mary shows rapt attention to Jesus' words, Martha is distracted, pulled away by serving. She's busy for Jesus. She's dependable. We have sympathy for her. She's the kind of woman we want in our churches, providing, capable, taking on tasks and fulfilling them. Maybe she had a particular gift of hospitality, spending time giving herself for the master's comfort. But the word there is distracted. She had doings that distracted her, prevented her from listening. So then in verse 41 and 42, Jesus doesn't criticize Martha for what she's doing, but for her concern about others and how these doings distract her. Maybe she'd be better off providing a lighter meal and having some time with her guest. So immediately we're challenged. Will we be like Martha and allow our doings to distract us from listening to Jesus? Or will we be like Mary and choose what is better? As Christians, this is a warning against the sort of activism which distracts us from listening to our Lord Jesus. We're to keep the word at the center of whatever we're doing, sitting at Jesus' feet. Psalm 27 and the song we sang, that one thing we desire, to be in God's presence. Mary has chosen what is better. Mary's choice is good at all times, whatever we're up to. J.C. Ryle, a famous old bishop, wrote, "Mary's choice was good in sickness and good in health, good in youth and good in age, good in adversity and good in prosperity, good in life and good in death, good in time and good in eternity." Listening to Jesus needs to be at the center. For some of us, this may mean thinking about maybe listening more than we speak. The old thing about having two ears and only one mouth. But we should be turning to scriptures before churning out advice. We should be listening to what God has done in others before being ready to share our own experience and wisdom. More listening rather than speaking. For some, this may mean stopping or pausing something for a time. Mary and Martha were sisters. They're presumably co-hosts for this group. Yet while Martha clanged pots and pans in the kitchen and probably huffed and sighed, Mary stopped doing a job. How dare she? She dared to stay with Jesus. So maybe you will demonstrate your love for Jesus this week when you leave dishes unwashed, papers unread, the garden unsorted, to spend time sitting at the feet of Jesus. Even ministry tasks can and should be suspended if they're distracting us from listening to Jesus. Can we reduce the busyness while fellowship with God is maintained? So often, isn't it true that when we're busy with whatever good things we're doing, the first thing to go is our prayer life. We get squeezed out, shortened, reduced to quick, punchy lists. Our time with God. There is a vital priority of listening for disciples because we have many things to do to prepare for the return of Jesus. If you're not sure what you believe, Jesus claims to have the words of life, an ongoing life with God. We're made by God to know him and experience his love. There's no other person or place to find contentment, purpose, fulfillment. If that's Jesus' claim, Well, it's an obvious priority to listen to Jesus. That's why we have Christianity Explored courses running regularly here. And another one's coming up at the beginning of next term. Because we need to get to the words of Jesus. We need not just to think about that we know what he says and what he's about, but actually listen to his words. Jesus claims to have the words of life, of salvation, bringing us back to God. Listen to his words in John 3. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Or later, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. This is clearly important, life-changing news. Listening to Jesus, not just sticking with what you think you know about him, is the most important thing you can do. So Martha wrongly judges Mary's inaction. Mary shows wisdom in spending time with Jesus. We have the vital priority of listening to Jesus. Do or do not, but we need to listen. And secondly, we have the vital attitude of listening. Do or do not, but we need to receive. Doings can be distracting, but they can also be done with the wrong attitude. C.S. Lewis once wrote of the sort of woman who lives for others. You know that woman, the sort of woman who cares and lives for others. Whatever she does, she's doing it for others. And you could tell who these others were by their haunted expressions. Or the story of the scouts. Do you remember Bob Job Week? I don't know if it still continues now. But the scouts who are helping the lady to cross the road. When asked why it took four of them to help this old lady to cross the road, they answered that it was because she didn't really want to go. Our doings can be done with the wrong attitude. As Christians, there can be danger in serving because our self-esteem can become tied up in serving and doing the right thing instead of our relationship with God. If your role was taken away, do you still come to church? Who are you before God if you're not doing that thing that you do? We need to take our work seriously, but not see ourselves in that work. Do you need to be needed? One thing is needed: time with Jesus. Receive from him. As Christians, there can be a danger in serving because we can sometimes take pride in ourselves and then compare with others. We think Jesus needs our work and we're on the good team, and we start to look around and say, huh, they don't do as much. They can't be quite right. We're all forgiven sinners. There's no sense in judging others. We just need to think about who we are before God. Martha in this passage is accusing Mary of selfishness, but instead we see that she is being self-absorbed. She says, Jesus, don't you care about me? Martha also wanted Mary to be doing the same work. Maybe she thought her work was more important. Maybe our passion, our particular thing that we're involved in, that's the most important ministry. Everyone else should be getting involved in it. To the busy Christian who might ask something like verse 40b, Lord, don't you care that I'm so busy doing all these things? Can't you get these other people to do this stuff with me? Maybe Jesus replies, verse 41, you're worried and upset about many things. Don't worry about what other people are doing. Focus on me. I am your Father God who loves you. If you're not sure whether you're following Jesus or not, we are reminded here that the Christian faith is about done rather than do. The things that we do, the good things that we do, they can show love, but they cannot be good enough. If we're honest with ourselves, we know that we all fall short. We all fail. Our pride and selfishness make a mess over and over again. And we live in God's world, ignoring his open arms to us. One day we'll have to give an account to God of how we have lived and responded to him. And all that we've done, our thoughts and our attitudes will be revealed. And Jesus has love for you, which needs to be received. He knew we needed a substitute in our place. Earlier in chapter 9, he's asked Peter, who do you say I am? Peter said, God's Messiah, God's special one. Jesus said, well, I need to suffer many things, be rejected, and I must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. And then later on, as the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, he resolutely sets out for Jerusalem, knowing that that is where he goes to die on that cross. Jesus knew who he was and what he'd come to do. He was God's son, the Christ, Messiah. He'd come on a mission of love to be rejected, suffer horribly, and be killed as a sacrifice for whoever would trust in him. And he resolutely set out to Jerusalem to do it. For me. For you. So don't rely on your doing, but rely on his done. Maybe some people here are so busy doing good, you don't feel like you need to come to Jesus. We can use good activity to keep Jesus at a distance, staying what we think is kind of good enough so as not to admit our need of God's help in the person of Jesus. Today is the day to give up your self-reliance and ask for his help. Christianity is not about what you need to do, but about what God has done. Wonderfully, we pick up Mary and Martha later on in the Gospels and hear wonderful testimony about them, from them. In John 11, Martha has a firm belief in Christ, the raiser of the dead, with her brother Lazarus. She spent time listening to Jesus, and this has given her a great hope. In John 12, Mary anoints Jesus with perfume as if for burial. She has spent time listening to Jesus and has a great belief in Jesus' saving death. Hearing Christ's word has given them a greater experience of discipleship and a great belief, giving a great hope. So if you don't know this Jesus, can I suggest grabbing the Gospel of Mark? It takes about an hour to read through, and listening for yourself to what Jesus has to say, the forgiveness and life he offers. It's vital to listen to him and vital to receive. And if you are a Christian activist, as I know many of us at the 4 p.m. are you holding to that which is the good portion? Time with Jesus, giving purpose and joy to all you're serving. Let me pray. Father, may we know the joy of time with Jesus. May we hear his words. And may we serve out of the hope and purpose we get of following our Lord. Amen.